This is Pastor Emery. In the winter of 1982, scores of U.S. Navy ships and thousands of U.S. soldiers and Marines were quietly moved into foreign bases in the Mideast as a protective army for the Jewish people in Palestine. This has been little publicized except by the religious community, much of which approves of U.S. intervention in the Mideast as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Many ministers say that America must stand up for the Jewish state in Palestine to follow God's command that Christians should protect and defend the biblical Jerusalem. But is that really true? Is that little old city in Palestine, which bears the name Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of Bible prophecy, which Christians are commanded to pray for and to protect? This is broadcast number one in a series titled, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. Stay tuned.
It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. I have a newspaper in front of me with pictures and a story from March of 1982 of 666 members of the U.S. 82nd Airborne Division leaving Fort Bragg, North Carolina, for a tour of duty in Jewish-occupied Sinai. There were no Ed Asners or Jane Fondas there to protest this shipment of American citizens to fight in foreign wars. They seem to protest only when American citizen soldiers are used to fight communism. To go to the Mideast to possibly fight Arabs apparently meets their approval and that of the rest of the liberal left. In fact, the liberal news media has hardly seen fit to inform our citizens that these boys are being sent to the Mideast by the thousands. One photograph, however, shows the troops filing off while a young girl of perhaps 20 to 22 years of age holds her tiny baby and sobs her heart out. One of the young men is her husband leaving for the Mideast tinderbox. Wives and mothers cry, but their cries are not heard as diplomats and the great men of the earth play at their war games with the lives and futures of these 18, 19, 20 to 25-year-old young men. I was intrigued by that short report, partly because of the number of men in that unit, 666, on their way to protect Jewish-occupied Palestine. I don't believe that every time one hears the number 666, it has a special biblical significance. However, Bible students do know the number 666 in the book of Revelation stands for man's plans for the earth, not God's plans. This is not the only time that number 666 has appeared in relation to the present Jewish state in Palestine or in relation to the old city of Jerusalem. In fact, Jewish government offices in Jerusalem have phone numbers beginning with 666, and many automobiles registered in that city have 666 as the first three numbers of their license plates. That would be exceeding strange to find 666 associated with Jerusalem if that old city of Jerusalem were really the Jerusalem of Bible prophecy, the one to which Jesus Christ is supposed to return and the one from which Jesus Christ is supposed to rule the earth in the kingdom age. However, if that is another Jerusalem, a biblical Jerusalem to which these prophecies apply, and they do not then apply to that little old city in Palestine, then finding 666 in that old city would not be so strange after all. In a few moments, I am going to read and discuss from the Bible both the old city of Jerusalem and something called New Jerusalem. I will show you from God's holy word that the old city of Jerusalem has very little to do with the prophecies about the return of Jesus Christ and of his kingdom. You get your Bibles and stay with me and see if you can find me wrong as we read God's holy word. While you're getting your Bibles or calling a friend to tune into this study, which is titled, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem, I will give my mail address, which you can use to obtain the free literature on this subject. Write me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the Jerusalem Packet. I have a small booklet in that packet that has the same title as this study, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem, and I will send you a free copy. I'll include in the packet some other pertinent materials for your study at home. No charge for the booklet and the packet. Just write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the Jerusalem Packet. The third verse of Isaiah 2 and the second verse of Micah 4 say that out of Zion shall go forth the law, meaning God's law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. These passages are both prophetic and have been taught by many thousands of ministers for many years that this Jerusalem mentioned by both prophets is the old city of Jerusalem over in Palestine. And they say that the Jews will someday go out from that old city and teach the word of God to all nations. They have been more dogmatic on this in the last 30 years since the Jews occupied the city and set up their own government over Palestine. However, there are a few ministers who are now questioning the role of that city, especially since so many years have passed since the Jews occupied it. The Jews have not turned to Christ as many ministers thought they would once they obtained rule over the old city. Back in 1948 and for some years after that, many radio prophecy preachers insisted that Christ would come by 1955. That would be 7 years after the Jews occupied the city of Jerusalem. When that did not happen, many then switched to other dates, some of them trying 7 years after the 1967 war, and 7 years after the 1973 war, and 7 years after the 1976 war, and so on. All of these years, of course, now having passed. Now we are hearing that Jesus must come back by 1988, because by then the Jews will have been back in the land for not 7 years, but 40 years. They base this on numbers such as David's reign was 40 years, and Solomon's reign was 40 years, and so on. One book now being distributed among Christians is titled, Will Christ Return by 1988? 101 Reasons Why. I have seen it. It is 175 pages long, and about 50 of those 101 reasons why Christ must return by 1988 are based on the Jews being back in the city of Jerusalem and thereby fulfilling Israel prophecy and setting the stage for the fulfilling of other prophecies. If you have that 175-page book, you really should write for my free one and compare them. Or at least you should stay tuned to this broadcast because I will give you Bible arguments to demonstrate that the occupation by the Jews of Jerusalem is most certainly not the occupation of the city called Jerusalem in those verses in Isaiah and Micah. Let's turn to those passages first and then we'll go on to many others. Isaiah 2 beginning in verse 1, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and then the first part of verse 2, it shall come to pass in the last days. So, this is what ministers call an end-time prophecy, and I agree with that. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mount of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Then verse 4 brings us up to the kingdom age, And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. A quick reading of that might not reveal anything that does not fit the old city of Jerusalem and the Jewish nation in Palestine. However, take another look at verse 2 and verse 3. In verse 2 it says, The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. The Lord's house is the nation of Israel. Israel is called God's house in perhaps 20 of places in the Law and the Prophets. So I agree this prophecy is talking about a restored Israel. However, it is to be established in the top of the mountains and exalted among the hills. In the books of the prophets, the word mountains is used many times to stand for great nations, and hills is used for smaller nations. Jeremiah 51 is an example where God prophesies judgment on Babylon. In verse 25 he says, Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain, or nation. Look up the word mountain in your concordance, read the passages in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and so on, and you will see these prophetic passages make sense when you substitute the words large nation or nation for mountain and small nation or nation for hill or hills. In fact, if you will do that, you will begin to understand many formerly hard-to-understand prophecies in the Old Testament. You will see that when Jesus told his disciples they could cast a mountain into the sea by faith, he might just have meant prophetic Babylon, which is prophesied to be cast into the sea in Revelation 18. Back to Isaiah 2. If this mountain of the Lord is the nation of the Lord, and it is to be established in the top of the mountains, or the top of the nations, then it would seem this prophecy would have to be talking about a great nation, possibly even the greatest nation on earth, established above all other nations. That would exclude the little nation of the Jews in Palestine, at least at this point in history. The last phrase of verse 2 says, And all nations shall flow unto it. The word translated nations there is the same Hebrew word usually translated people. So it probably should read, And all people shall flow unto it. Again, Israeli is excluded, for no one but Jews are allowed to settle in Jewish-occupied Palestine and given citizenship. Others may come as tourists, but cannot stay. It would seem this prophecy would need a large and mighty nation to which people of all races or nations would go in order to meet the requirements of a literal fulfillment. Now, I am not trying to say that this passage alone proves that the little old city of Jerusalem is not the prophetic Jerusalem spoken of here. I am saying, however, that with even this much examination of the Scripture, we can see problems in trying to fit prophecy into the old city. Or perhaps I should rephrase that to say we can see problems in trying to fit the old city into prophecy. One very important point we must understand when we are dealing with prophecy, and you listen closely to this, for I want you to keep this in mind as you listen to this radio series and whenever you read Bible prophecy, and that is this. When you read a name, a proper noun in prophecy, it does not necessarily follow the thing named is the same as the thing in history with the same name. Here are some examples. There is a prophetic Babylon. Most Bible students immediately think of Revelation 17, and they know that prophetic Babylon was to rule all the world in the end of the age. Well, the old historical city of Babylon is gone, and it never did rule all the earth, so there are two Babylons in the Bible, one in the past, one was to be future. By the way, I did a series of radio broadcasts a few years ago titled, What is Mystery Babylon?, in which I showed that this prophetic Babylon now rules all the earth while the old historical Babylon lies in ruins. One is named after the other, but they are not the same thing. There is also a prophetic Egypt, and it is not the old country of Egypt. There is a prophetic Assyria, yet historical Assyria is gone millenniums ago. If you don't know of a prophetic Assyria, read chapters 10, 14, 30, and 31 of Isaiah, Hosea 11, and Micah 5. There are also prophecies that tell us that David will rule over the house of Israel in the future. One of my recent sermons was on Ezekiel 34, where God promises in verse 27 to deliver Israel from their enemies, and in verse 28 through 31 gives promises that could only be kingdom promises. Yet at that time, he says in verse 23, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." The Psalms have scores of places where the name David is used, yet we know those prophecies, like Ezekiel 34, can be fulfilled only by Jesus Christ, not by King David himself. There is a prophetic Edom. The entire prophecy of Obadiah is of a future destruction at the end of the age of something called Edom. Yet historical Edom disappeared over 2,000 years ago. And there is a prophetic Jerusalem, called New Jerusalem several places in both the Old and the New Testament. And there is, of course, an old historical Jerusalem. And so I must ask, if the old nation of Egypt is not the Egypt of prophecy, and if old King David is not the David of prophecy, and if the old city of Assyria is not the Assyria of prophecy, and if the old city of Babylon is not the Babylon of prophecy, why do Christians think that the old city of Jerusalem has to be the Jerusalem of Bible prophecy? Well, the only reason they think so is that thousands and thousands of their ministers keep telling them the old city in Jerusalem is the city they read about in the books of the prophets and in the book of Revelation. Christians really have no scriptural reason for thinking the old city is the city of prophecy, as we shall see, and yet it is the sons of Christians who will also die in that war in the Mideast for Jewish-occupied Jerusalem, which their parents think is prophetic Jerusalem. While we are on this subject of prophetic entities, which are not necessarily the same as the historical places with the same name, I want to comment on Zechariah 14. I receive many letters from folks who say, "Well, Pastor Emery, you say Jesus will not return to the old city of Jerusalem, but what about Zechariah 14? I'll try and answer that right now to some extent before we go further on Jerusalem itself. First, I agree that Zechariah 14 is an end-time prophecy of the return of Jesus Christ, and that it is followed by the kingdom, for verse 9 says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." All right, now let us read about Jesus' feet on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah 14, beginning in verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And then it's followed by verse 4, And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south, and then there is more in that prophecy. Some of this we will discuss in more detail later on further broadcasts, but while we are on that principle of old historical sites not being prophetic sites, take a look at the term Mount of Olives. I've already stated, and most Bible students know, that in prophecy, mount or mountain stands for nation or nations. Then we have in Jeremiah 11:6, the house of Israel called by the name a green olive tree. And in Zechariah 4, this same prophet who wrote Zechariah 14 gave a riddle with two olive trees in it, and we can see from his explanation that the two olive trees stand for the two divisions of Israel, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So Israel is the olive tree nation. So if Jesus' feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and Mount stands for nation, and olive symbolizes Israel, Zechariah 14:4 is simply a prophecy which agrees with scores of other prophecies that Jesus will return to the nation of Israel. It does not necessarily mean he will return to that little old hill in old Palestine called by the name Mount of Olives. I have just a few moments left, so I'll get you started a little further in Zechariah about Jerusalem. If you have your Bibles, turn to Zechariah 1, verses 14 through 17. I will first take out of that the phrases which are so often used to teach that the old Jerusalem is the Jerusalem of prophecy. God is speaking. I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. These are phrases from verse 14 through 17, and those who quote them often say they mean that God will set up a temple or his house at some future time in the old city of Jerusalem. However, there are other phrases in those same verses which must be considered. I will add them here in their context. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My cities through prosperity or through good shall yet be spread abroad. Then comes, And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Since the phrase, spread abroad, was spoken through Zechariah while he was in old Palestine, it could mean spread abroad to other places than old Palestine. Christ also gave some indication that the cities of Israel would be in great number and cover much territory. In Matthew 10 are his well-known instructions to his 12 disciples. In verse 6 he tells them to go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He adds in verse 23, For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciples could have gone over the towns in old Palestine in a matter of weeks, as missionaries still could do today if the Jews would allow them to do so, but if the cities of Israel were to be spread abroad and to be in great number, it could not be done so quickly and the Jerusalem spoken of by Jesus and by Zechariah could be something other than the Jerusalem in old Palestine. We also must take into consideration that Zechariah, as a prophet to Israel, spoke not only to those in the Babylonian captivity, but to the millions of Israelites who were at that time in the Assyrian lands and who never returned to Jerusalem or Palestine. That Zechariah's prophecy here was not fulfilled by the return of less than 45,000 Israelites from Babylon under Ezra and Nehemiah will be clear as we go on. Also, what the Jerusalem is that the Lord shall yet choose is made clearer by reading the very next verses in the prophet Zechariah. My time is up, so you can read those next verses, and I will get into that a little further next week, God willing, when we continue our study titled, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. Meanwhile, you can have this 30-page book by the same name by simply writing to me and asking for it. If you have had any questions about what is happening in Old Palestine and in the so-called Holy Land, you should read this booklet, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. It is quite certain that many Christian boys will die for that old land over there. If you are a parent of a boy of draft age, or who soon will be, you should find out from the Bible just what it is he will be dying for in Palestine or in Arabia. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The announcer will repeat my mail address in just a moment. When you write or call, please give me the call letters of the radio station over which you hear America's Promise. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.